Yes, it is the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Happy International Chicken Wing Day.
Love to see it.
One of my favorite foods. I love chicken wings. I could eat chicken wings every single day if I could. Mm-hmm. But I asked the question, 713-572-4610. What's your favorite chicken wing spot? What's your go-to spot? Lopez, what's your go-to spot? Is it Gus's? Is it still Gus's?
I still love Gus's, yes.
Is that the go-to?
For chicken wings?
Oh, yeah. For all chicken. Chicken wings. What's the one that has that Gold Fever that I like?
You're thinking about Big City Wings.
Big City. I like Big City.
Big City Wings.
Yeah, I like Big City.
And I hate when people ask me this question because it's different type of chicken.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because you got the wing spots, like as far as Pluckers and Big City Wings and I don't know.
Yeah, are you talking chain or are you talking, you know, smaller
but,
place?
No, it's a certain type of chicken because sometimes my wife, she always, you know, she like chicken too.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes she be like, man, I just want a good fried wing.
Yeah.
So those type of places
fried
are.
Fried hard?
That's more of a Gus's. Hard. That's more of
yeah,
a
that's more of a Gus's, Frenchies, and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I always get kind of not confused.
It's two different things.
Yeah, it's two because
like hot wings. I like.
Do you want Pluckers or Frenchies?
Yeah,
that's a good point because sometimes mm-hmm. I was literally thinking about that earlier this week, which means I'm going to get wings tonight. Thank you. I was thinking about like I haven't had like a good just like buffalo wing recently.
Yeah.
Like I've frequently been getting kind of like different flavored wings.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just need like a hot wing, like a hot wing that you're going to dip in some ranch or blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like just that vibe. And I haven't had one of those in a minute. So I think I'm going to do that. But to answer your question, it's got to actually be like Korean wings for me. I'm trying to think of a particular spot because I've been trying more spots around here.
Not bad.
But that rice flour, that crisp that it adds. I'm sorry.
Them wings be big as hell, too, man.
The best.
I made a mistake one time because I went to a Korean spot for some wings, and they, I think they had like an order of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I get 10. You know what? Let's do 12.
Yeah.
Man, I ain't realized those wings was big as my arm, man. I'm like, oh, I ain't know they was that big. I had them wings for like a couple days.
That's right. That's the best way to do it.
But I had some great wings this weekend, actually. We went to celebrate a birthday at Pinstripes down on Kirby.
Yeah.
And
is that the bowling spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
We went there for a birthday. Man, their wings was good. I'm trying to find the name of it, but they were some of the best I've had.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we got something in common because I actually had some wings over the weekend, too.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to Dallas. I explained earlier I had to work a photo booth event. Mm-hmm. And kind of tweaked my back a little bit, but my back is feeling better. It's a little better than it's better than yesterday.
You need a backiotomy?
Probably so. I just know I ain't going to the Astros. And I ain't asking for their help.
Sweet chili
be good.
Sweet Ooh. Chili gets me every time.
Yeah,
like Thai chili.
Thai chili
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
I had like four of them, and then I had like four more, and then on the way out, I grabbed a couple more.
A good place to get some Thai chili wings is from Atomic Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Atomic Wings right off of 290 and Antoine.
Yeah.
They have a thing called the Wang. Not the wing, but the Wang.
Yeah.
You got to get the Thai chili Wang.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Someone said we sleeping on Timmy Chan's. Okay. I see you, Sonny Steve.
All right.
Oh, ain't nobody. We wide awake over here. I'm familiar with their game.
Yeah. Are we supposed to make another... Wait, I feel like we are doing the thing as a show where we constantly write things down on the docket to do and then we never get to them.
Yeah, we got to get back to that.
Yeah.
But anywho, I was up in Dallas and I always heard of this place called Rudy's that's up in Dallas.
Yes, Rudy's is a legendary up there.
Yeah, I decided to go up there and it took me about an hour to get the food because the line was wrapped around the corner. And they took a long time to the point. I think I'm not sure if they sold out or what, but they closed pretty early.
Oh wow!
So I was the last order they took,
mm-hmm.
and it was around 6 o'clock. So
got them.
Yeah, I got them.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, this could be a confession. Let me hit the confession button real quick. So, I think Rudy's chicken wings, the flavor tastes better than Frenchie's chicken wings.
Oh wow! Controversy.
It could be. I'm not sure because I know.
Wait, are you putting Dallas over Houston right now?
Now, see, that's the thing. Is Frenchies, is that considered a Houston staple or is that more, is that kind of a New Orleans thing or Louisiana
I think
thing?
I consider it Houston.
Is it Houston?
Yeah, I consider it Houston.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, the flavor
tastes. Does that make you want to change your answer here?
No, I mean, the flavor tastes really good, man.
Yeah.
It tastes really good. Yeah. I was really impressed by it because I thought I was going to be disappointed just for the simple fact that it took an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this food can't be good after an hour. But it was good. It was crispy. It was really good. I was really impressed by it.
Did I ever tell y'all about the chicken tour of Texas that me and my homeboys were trying to get together in college? We had an idea, which is this is perfect college thinking. Mm-hmm. You just got time on your hands and appetite galore, that we were going to hit up Dallas, Houston, and Austin in one day, maybe even San Antonio, and get like the staple chicken spots. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. So we were going to go, you know, hit up Rudy's in Dallas, drive down to Houston,
hit up
Frenchie's, drive to Austin, get some Gus's. Like, just we were going to bounce around to the entirety of the state. And the thing that stopped us is the morning of, one of the dudes was like, I'm sick, and we just never did it.
Oh, man.
I want to do that with barbecue.
Hey, let me know. Hey. I'm down.
Hey, man. We could do this. We could make it the in the loop thing. We could pitch it in the show meeting.
You know what
something.
That sounds like? A thing that we write down that we never actually
do. Put it right there so it could keep getting dust. But anywho, happy International Chicken Wing Day.
Now we're all getting wings.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Y'all were out at camp today. Today was day 6.
That's right.
And I felt like, correct me if I'm wrong, I felt like, I want to say starting Friday, I felt like camp been kind of popping. Like, it seemed like it been a lot going on. I don't know if it had to do with the fans, maybe the fans there and all that stuff. And yesterday was the padded, where they had the pads on, right?
Correct.
So I feel like it been popping, and I've been noticing a lot of people bringing up different names like Jalen Noel and just different names.
Which that reminds me, I owe Lopez a point on here.
You do.
Don't worry about it.
Hey,
don't worry about it.
I can let that one slip through the cracks.
Yeah, you ain't gonna notice.
Yes, I am.
So this got me thinking about some way too early questions related to camp. Just how
I'm just gonna add another one
performing
for J-Rock while we're at it. By the way, all right. I want to make that clear.
So I got a couple questions I want to ask y'all. Right. Just way too early camp questions from Figgy Fig.
Mm-hmm.
So Jalen Noel can not. You know what? Let me start with this one. So Joe Mixon is hurt,
right?
And not sure when he's gonna come back or when he'll be ready. When he gonna hit the field again? So I want to ask y'all this. If Joe Mixon is out for 4 weeks, you know how you put him on that
regular season?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how you put him on that IR list? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not ready yet. So you got to miss the first four weeks. If you get prime Nick Chubb, do you keep him as RB1?
If you get prime Nick Chubb.
Yeah. Let's say Nick Chubb is back to the old Nick Chubb.
Oh, that's a good question. I think you, at least for a while, continue to start him, but Joe Mixon's going to get a big chunk of the reps.
I refuse to engage with this question because I don't think prime Nick Chubb exists anymore.
It's a question.
It's way too early questions, man.
If you get prime
your ass
Nick
off the
Chubb.
Fence.
If you get prime Nick Chubb, what are we doing with the flying pigs?
It's like you didn't want
to get. What are we doing with the hell freezing over? How are we? I feel like we got bigger fish to fry at that point.
It's like, well, I have no complaints about work.
Exactly.
But I'll admit, I was ducking the smoke at that point. I'll admit that. In this instance, I am actively seeking smoke because this is not the popular opinion, but I sincerely do not believe you're finding that level in Nick Chubb. I don't think that's a question that can be answered. And I think that that points back to the idea that, no, if you don't have Joe Mixon, as soon as he's ready to get back in here, it is Joe Mixon's job.
But if you have prime Nick Chubb.
Yeah, let's say he's out the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And Nick Chubb is
goes for $120.
He going $120, $130, you know, maybe $110, and then $140.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Somebody said that's a legit question. Don't do that. Don't encourage them.
It is a legit question.
All right, so here's the thing. I think the way that
I think the
way that you would play it, if you find a way to do the impossible, as I'm putting it, I think that you then, you ramp up Joe Mixon, but it's still ultimately in your mind as Joe Mixon is that guy who is one.
Yes.
And then, you know, you get Chubb as 1B, because I do think that you have probably a higher run or farther runway.
So you think when Mixon. They start the game and you know how they had them player intros, you think it's going to be Joe Mixon, running back.
I could easily see you
Oklahoma or wherever.
Actually, yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
you start Nick Chubb and then work him in, and maybe ultimately Joe Mixon is the starter.
Or I think maybe you start Joe Mixon and then he gets probably maybe less of a share of the snaps just to kind of establish dominance and, you know, make it abundantly clear, hey, dog, it's still you.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately the underlying current of that is it's still Joe Mixon's, you know, running back room.
Yeah.
It's his world.
Yeah, those would be good problems to have, by the way, if that was the case.
Yeah, if you find a way to get prime Nick Chubb back, sure, great problems to have.
Yeah, so I got some more way too early questions to ask y'all on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So Jalen Noel, if he can be a poor man's Tank Dell and Jaden Higgins can be a poor man's Nico, do you make them wide receiver number 2 and 3?
Ooh.
I
want to know what Christian Kirk is doing, because my immediate response would be no, because Kirk figures to be number 2 no matter what.
Right. That's very similar to my answer. Yeah. The answer is objectively no.
Yeah.
I understand what you're going for. Like, if you get those guys and they are producing, I think that that's great. I think the value that Christian Kirk brings is not simply in his athleticism and his ability, but his brain. Like, to make it very clear, like, this is a Nick Caley offense. This is a Texans offense that has been made very clear. You're going to not need to just produce, but you're going to need to have a very, very comfortable relationship with what not just you are doing, but with everyone is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the veteran nature of Christian Kirk and the plaudits that he's received in various different areas points to the idea that he is probably best suited of your wide receivers to have that level of grasp and command over the entirety of the offense and what everybody's doing. I think that's going to be very valuable for C.J. Stroud in this one.
What kind of Christian Kirk do you guys think we gonna get?
All signs have been, you know, very positive. So, what are the numbers? You want to throw some numbers?
Yeah, because
on there?
I'm curious. I'm just kind of throwing this out there. What was the last best Christian Kirk year?
Year before last?
Yeah, because I mean, obviously he had injuries, and year before last, I think he started to kind of figure his way with.
Was it Jacksonville? Was it Arizona?
Oh, I think it was Jacksonville. His first year in Jacksonville for sure. But maybe year before last when he was
year before last is definitely where I go as well. I mean, and if you want to go based off of numbers, that was his only 1,000-yard season, 8 touchdowns as well. That one feels like it's absolutely the one.
Okay, yeah, I'm just kind of wondering. I'm not sure what kind of Christian Kirk we gonna get. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, this is what we gonna get.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe most importantly, the Christian Kirk I believe we're gonna get is one that is able to lock in with C.J. Stroud, and I think that's the most important thing. If you can become a sort of appendage off of C.J. Stroud and his quarterbacking ability, I think that that's the biggest thing that you... In fact, we saw it today in practice, right? The big play that was made where C.J. Stroud just absolutely threads the needle. That is to Christian Kirk. Now, obviously, he did that a number of times today as he was he was in his duffel out there on the practice fields. But one of those is to a Christian Kirk where he knows exactly where to place it, and Christian Kirk is in exactly the place that you want it.
All right. I got more camp questions on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I'm going to stick with Jalen Noel. So if Jalen Noel can have a Tank Dell type of rookie season, do you think Tank Dell's spot is kind of in question for the next season?
No, not even kind of.
Really?
No. Not if he's healthy.
That's kind of the thing. Because this is the second year in a row he suffered some unfortunate injuries.
Yeah. But he did have that season, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think he's established already.
I think that's fair to some degree because Tank Dell, as we know, it's easy for someone from a 30,000-foot view, someone who's not in this market and, you know, really attuned to what Tank Dell is, to look at his stature, look at his speed, and go, all right, well, Tank Dell's slot receiver. When no, he's every bit of an outside guy.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about that is you also have Jaden Higgins who exists as an outside guy, and I do wonder – do you end up in a place where you go, those are our wide receivers, but then how do you find the hierarchy there? Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe the bigger thing. They all remain on the team, but then how do you find the hierarchy, or do you really have to try and find a way to actually answer the five-headed monster type conversation of how do you get all of these guys involved?
And another good problem to have.
Very much so.
It would be a great problem to have.
But also, that would be what? That would be headed into the fourth year?
Mm-hmm.
There is something to be said about the contractual benefits, especially as you will have paid C.J. Stroud, Willis Jr., in addition to all the other guys that you paid. Do you then come around and look at this and go, is that a guy that we want to pay a second contract to Tank Dell? And I hate that I have to think about it in that way, but does that then also help make you a decision if you're Nick Caserio?
It would have to.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna get through the rest of these questions. I got two more questions. I'll get through them as quick as possible. If the Texans get to the bye week with a record under 500, is it time to panic? And before y'all answer this, after the bye, they are at Seattle, they are at San Fran, and home against Denver.
So that
only
is,
one of those games.
They will
me.
Have played five games going into the bye week six. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. That's still pretty early.
I also say no, in large part, something that we've been talking about and maybe I've been leaning too heavily on, mm-hmm. but I don't think this offense is fully formed until maybe bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think, and that's not to say that it's a bad thing because of this. I just think the natural circumstances here are Nick Haley wants to have kind of, we do a lot, we have a lot of things that are open to us and mm-hmm. we will fit the things that we actually do to the things that these guys are capable of doing. I think that it's going to take all of preseason and some of the early portions of the regular season to figure those things out.
Yeah.
I think that that is something that would be, you know, maybe those could contribute to those things. Plus, again, you mentioned Seattle, not scared of Seattle this year. You mm-hmm. mentioned San Francisco, not scared of San Francisco this year.
Yeah.
You know, Denver, sure, you could talk me into being afraid of them.
Yeah.
I get it. But I don't think that those would be the things that would get me to a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess the question would be, how are you losing those games? Because if it's the defense having some level of issues, oh, well, yeah, then that's panic inducing in and of itself.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I get y'all out of here on this on my way too early questions on the mixtape. So by week nine, if the Texans' offense is similar to the offense from last season or worse, but the defense is top five, are you okay with that?
No. No, so, I'm not. I mean, so I'm okay with the top five
even
defense.
Even with the top five defense.
Because I think ultimately, and we'll have to see how it plays out, but ultimately we'll probably end up in the same place we did last year. You know, the offense struggling, not quite getting it done in the postseason, and the defense can only do so much.
Yeah, and I, the only reason I brought this up, too, because I feel like the defense has been really shining mm-hmm. in training camp, and the offense still has some things to go. But I wonder if this could be a real thing by week nine, that the offense still ain't really clicking, but the defense is top five and they still kind of winning games.
Yeah.
My answer would also be no, because now we got to bring to people's doorsteps in mm-hmm. that instance, because one, this is another valuable year of CJ Stroud as a good quarterback and a window being open, which is something you just cannot waste in high level sports.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you had an offseason to address all of these things.
Yeah.
And if you come out and you are not finding answers to it, you got to ask how much of that is Nick Haley? How much of that is obviously Nick Caserio as the man who is, you know, buying the groceries, so to say, when it came to the offensive line? How much of that is D'Amico Ryans as the guy who, again, mm-hmm. says, put it on me. I make the decision on who the play caller is, and getting a first time play caller, if that doesn't work, I think that reflects on him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places to place blame if you do not get an offensive.
I was going to say some people might start looking at CJ.
Some people might. I feel like those people,
if they start wondering, hey, was that rookie season just a rookie? Was that just a one-time thing? Is this what CJ really is?
Yeah.
There's going to be some questions.
A lot of people in some crosshairs. I mean, Nick
Caserio. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of blame.
Yeah.
The thing that had us mad all offseason about, hey, you need a better offensive line, and you just went and got some guys, right?
Yeah.
With all due respect.
And then you got to turn around and pay him probably a boatload of money.
Yeah.
I'm talking about CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think anybody's going to be upset about paying CJ, even though I understand what you're saying about criticism.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying if we having questions about the quarterback,
mm-hmm.
then, we go. It's you don't want a Trevor Lawrence type of situation where you just mm-hmm. got an okay quarterback and he's the highest paid quarterback in the league.
That made me feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
A Trevor Lawrence type of situation. All right. From the 832, how about if we open 0-5? Well, yeah, that's going to be
fire everybody.
I don't know if I fully go to that place, but it would very much be there'd be alarms.
Sell the team, Cal.
Okay. All right. You might be doing a lot here. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's Figgy's mixtape. Getting a little sportsy there. I like it.
How about that?
At the Figgy Fig on social media, if you see something mixtape worthy that you believe that Figgy can make use of. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to Clinton Ron of The Drive. But before that, Derek Stingley talked today, and there's a couple of notes in there that I found to be interesting from that. Let's talk about that. Plus, apparently Charlie Morton came out of a game and looked tearful in the dugout. Does that mean anything? We'll talk about it.